You'd think that as a video game podcaster and comedian, my life is all fun and games. And honestly, you'd be right. About 90% of the time, it's pretty sweet. But every morning, I deal with something very, very serious. My face. You don't become an Edmonton Six overnight. It takes work. And in my case, it takes good facial hair. And fortunately, I have a great facial hair tag team partner in Harry's. Hit up harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set and see what I'm talking about. Harry saw the tire fire that the shaving market had become and asked, how did it get like this? Crappy plastic razors, overpriced blades, all locked up like gold bars. And they said, no, we can fix this. And damn it, they did. Harry's ships premium quality razors right to your door. About once a month, I check my mail and there's that little box with everything I need to keep my kid presentable status. The blades stay sharp longer, which means an easier time getting my face in order in the morning. And the razors don't look like a dumb piece of plastic that a junior high schooler uses to take care of their peach fuzz. You have the facial hair of a man now. Shave like one. I actually leave my razor handle on the bathroom counter all the time just because it looks so damn classy. Harry's blades are German engineered and they're made to last. They're the best blades on the market for the best price, and you don't even have to go out to get them. Set your delivery schedule and shave like a king. I know it sounds sarcastic, but I'm being serious. I've used Harry's forever. These blades are really freaking good. Highest reviews in the industry, a money back guarantee that you're not going to need, and a subscription that you can cancel anytime you want. Getting ripped off isn't funny. Switch to Harry's. Get started with a $13 trial set for just $3 at harrys.com/RTG. That's harrys.com/RTG for a $3 trial set. Remember the Game is brought to you by my website, abcomedy.net. As you may or may not know, I'm a comedian by night. And as much as I love talking about old video games, telling jokes is how I actually pay my bills. So please check out my website. In addition to old episodes of this podcast, you'll find my blog, videos of my stand-up, all of my upcoming shows, and my contact information. If you need a comedian for your next fundraiser, corporate event, house party, whatever you got going on, hit me up. Again, it's abcomedy.net. And if you're enjoying the podcast, please subscribe to it. Please leave us a good review. And most importantly, please tell a friend. I'd really appreciate it. There'll be a new episode every single Wednesday. Thank you guys so much for the support. I hope you enjoy the show. What's up, everybody? Welcome back to Remember the Game, my weekly gaming podcast, where a buddy of mine and I will sit down and reminisce about a game from our childhood, or teen years, or early adult. Just, we'll remember a game. We will remember an old video game. My name is Adam Blank. Thank you guys so much for coming back. This week, episode 20, my pal Andre is back, and we are going to look at Final Fantasy IX. We recorded this one a little while ago, and I've kind of been sitting on it. Partially because I didn't want to burn too many of the Final Fantasy games in the first 15 episodes of the podcast. And partially because, I don't know, Final Fantasy IX is a weird game to me. I did not play it forever. I'll break it down more when we get into the podcast itself. I didn't play it until 3 or 4 years ago, and I finally downloaded it on my Vita, of all things. And it became the best game I played on the Vita, which I know it may not be saying much, but I don't know, man. I kind of have a crush on Final Fantasy IX. I don't know how else to explain it. It's a weird. I feel like I criminally overlooked this game for way too long, and now it's easily in my top three Final Fantasy games. And so Final Fantasy or Remember the Game 20. I guess 20 is a little bit of a milestone. It's an even number. We're going to give Final Fantasy IX its due, and we're going to spend some time talking about, for my money, one of the greatest RPGs ever made, and damn, man, like, maybe the best Final Fantasy game. You know, it may not be my personal favorite, but for my money, it might be the best one. It's a great game. I'm not going to talk about it anymore. We'll get into it with Andre in a second. As far as what I've been playing this week, I actually just finished, I should do an episode on it soon. Mark McHugh, I know you're listening to this. Maybe you're my Zelda nerd. You could come over and help me with this. I finally finished playing through the very first Zelda on NES. I played it on the Nintendo Switch's NES Online. I had never played through it before. It was fun. It is hard. Well, it's confusing kind of, but I'll get into that when we do the episode, but I enjoyed it. Good game. And I'm also just started into Crash Bandicoot, the remakes, the Insane Trilogy on the Switch. And it's pretty rad, man. It's I don't know if Crash hasn't aged as well as I was hoping, or maybe it's just harder than I thought it was, but the first Crash is kicking my ass. But I still like it. That's another episode we need to do soon. I'm always worried about talking too much about a game and burning an episode of it, but playing Crash, and I just finished Zelda, so it's apparently the fucking mid-90s all over again. Okay, that is it, you guys. I am going to get to the episode with Andre. Thank you so much for coming back and listening and all the feedback and all the shares. It's much appreciated, as always. You know that. Oh, also today, just quickly, we've already done an episode on it. Sorry. But November 21st, 1998 was the official release date of The Legend of Zelda Ocarina of Time in North America. So I've already done an episode of that one. It was one of the first episodes. Go back and listen to it if you want. I have mixed opinions on that game. That said, you can't deny the impact that game has had and the legacy that game has left. So happy 20th birthday, Legend of Zelda, Ocarina of Time. I would play you, but you are not available on anything I own right now. So good enough. All right, that's it, you guys. We are going to get to the episode. Thank you so much for listening. I've already said all that. Good enough. Here we go. The guys, Final Fantasy IX with Andre. Check it out. We're gonna talk some Final Fantasy IX. Now, I want to try to focus on Final Fantasy IX because it's so easy to fucking get into all the Final Fantasy games. But that said, is it your favorite? If you got what's your favorite Final Fantasy that you've played?
This is probably my favorite. This is the one I've played more than any other Final Fantasy. The older ones, say before 7, I've only played 2/4. That's okay. The only one of them I've played.
Okay.
And then I played 7, played 8, played 9, played 10, 10-2. I've played them all, except for the online ones. I didn't play 11 or 14 because
likewise,
I'm not a big MMO guy. But 9 probably is my favorite story of them all.
Okay.
I don't know. I don't know what gets me about it, but it's just so much fun.
It's, dude, it's okay. So, because, I played 2 and 4, whatever. I played 4 and 6, like, 4 I played like crazy.
Everybody tells me to play 6 and I just haven't gotten around to it. The thing is what it is. It's just
it's pretty rad, man.
But like 9, I don't know, it's just something about 9. It's maybe it's cuz number 2 is my second favorite.
Okay.
I think it's the fantasy. It's actually fantasy, not
man.
Like if you play 7 and 8, it's
that's
steampunk lush, like I don't know. I don't know what to call it, but It feels like it's mages, it's daggers and swords, and I don't know, I just love that.
Yeah, dude, I was gonna say, like, I played 4, 6, 7, 10, and 13. I never played 9, and my friend Chris, who is listening, and I'm gonna go after you in a second, Chris. I know he's listening. He was the one that was like, dude, you gotta play 9. Yeah. So when I had to go away for work for a few weeks. I had a PS Vita, and all those Final Fantasies are available on it. And 9 was on sale for like $5. And so I was like, okay, I'll give it a chance. And dude, I'm telling you, I don't know if it's the return to the fantasy world, if it's the combat system, like the leveling up, the abilities, all that stuff. I don't know if it's the story. It instantly became in my top 3 with the 2 Super Nintendo ones.
Yeah.
And if you really put a gun to my head, it might be my favorite Final Fantasy game.
I love it. It's the characters in it, the story to it. If this is one to me, just doesn't go off the rails at the end.
Mm-hmm.
It's this story that kind of makes sense throughout.
Right.
Or 8 went nuts. 7, it never really goes off the rails. Just it kind of...
I think 7 is as loved as it is, and I think a big part of that is because it was the first, PlayStation Final Fantasy.
It's a lot, for my generation. I'm only a few years younger than you, but if you didn't grow up on the NES and Super NES, that's your first Final Fantasy.
Agreed, 100%. And so I think it gets a lot of love because of that. But like, dude, if you play them both now, and I'm not shitting on 7, 7's fine, but Final Fantasy 9 in every possible way is a better game.
It still holds up so strongly. I've been playing through it.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm almost done it, but I don't know. I just, and like, one thing I've never done is get all the ultimate weapons, which you, I can either go and get one. It's hard to get all the ultimate weapons in one game because Steiner's ultimate, you have to finish, you have to get to the one spot in 12 hours or you can't get Excalibur.
Okay.
You can get Excalibur 2, which is his second best weapon, but you can't get it unless you literally, you have to rush the game. You have to skip every cutscene. You have to do, like, you skip so much to get there, which I know I can't do.
Right.
There's so much to that game. It's so much fun.
Yeah, it is. It's every, like, I mean, okay, so first and foremost, I really like the characters. Like, if you start with that, like, I mean, except, this is where I'm going to piss Chris off, because my buddy Chris, I know he's listening. Chris VV sucks. And I don't, you like VV. Everyone loves
VV. I like him. Like, don't get me wrong, he's not the best character in that game.
No, he's
but
not.
But I enjoy him. I think he's a fun little character. Like, he's the lovable mascot character of that game is really what he is.
He is. And, like, he doesn't suck. I like, there's worse characters. Like, the, what's his, I don't even know how to say it. The fat chef thing.
Oh,
the
blue mage. Queena.
Queena.
I think it's Queena. I say Queena.
It looks like Queena. I don't like Queena. I've never used the blue. Like, I never used.
I only use her when I'm essentially forced to.
Right.
Like, and there's certain points in the game where you get her and you're kind of forced to use her. I don't think I've ever completely. I've played through this game probably a good 20 times.
Okay.
And, like, I own it on Steam, so I have the boosters. I have played through this game using the boosters. This last time, the only booster I used was a fast forward booster because it moves things a lot faster.
Okay.
I've played it through with the boosters using, and you literally can just get all of the abilities done in one shot. That's the only time I've ever completed Queena's abilities.
Yeah.
Because I just hate using that character so much.
Me too.
And it's a grind because you have to get him to get whatever it is to eat all these different characters to get their magic. It's just like, no.
There was a character like that in 6 as well. Gao? G-A-U. Gao? But it's his whole shtick is that he's like the blue mage, I guess. And you have to, like, fight certain villains and he'll run off with them and then come back to your team and he's learned their abilities. And people say those characters are really powerful if you put the time into them.
Well,
I don't have the patience to put the time into
it. Like, literally, you get level 5 death with Queena. Like, you can get level 5 death, which pretty much just eradicates a lot of characters.
Right.
Like, a lot of lowering problems. But it's just, the character is annoying.
Yeah, that's
the
my
quest
thing.
To get the ultimate weapon, you have to catch 99 frogs.
Yeah, yeah.
And that, to me, is a pain in the ass to do the frog thing. I've always hated catching frogs.
And there's too many better characters. Like, okay, so, like, Zidane is my favorite main character. Because I guess he can be considered the main
character.
He's
my favorite protagonist of any of the games so
me
far.
Me too.
Because I think he actually has a character to him.
Yeah.
Like, he feels, you don't, it's not like Cloud and Squall, both were these mysterious, like, really, if you think of both of them, were mysterious guys you didn't really know much about until the end of the game, right? Or until later on in the game when you see the big twist.
Right.
Whereas Zidane, you know who he, like, we learn there is a twist for him later on where you find out he's a soul, this vessel supposedly for the Terrans to be reborn into, but he's a character from the beginning. He doesn't seem that mysterious guy you know nothing about.
Agreed. Yeah. He's very likable. Like, very, very likable. Cloud is likable in a way of, like, he's cool. Do you know what I mean?
He's that cool guy you want to be.
Right. But Zidane's
the guy you just love because he's more kind of character you want to be friends with.
Yeah.
And you love playing with him because he's so just fun.
He just seems like a cool guy. You know? Like, so there's Zidane. There's Vivi, who doesn't suck as much as I just say it to piss
Chris
off.
He's a lovable mascot of the game. Like, he's not my favorite, but he's a lovable, fun little character. Sure. And, like, I don't know. He's fun.
And he's pretty handy, man.
And when you put him and Steiner on a team together, with the sword magic, it's so good.
Yeah, that's where I was going to go. My second favorite character in the game is Steiner. Because he's such a
bumbling oaf in the game. Yeah.
He's kind of a stick in the mud.
He's this fun character, like, because he's the ultimate I don't know, say like he wants to serve his master every time, but yeah. Then his masters keep getting like he keeps having to serve a new master almost.
Yeah,
he's so much fun to watch progress because he progresses from this stick in the mud guy at the start of the game to this like badass fighter knight by the end of the game. He's just this badass character. Yeah. Who's just I don't know, it's just amazing.
See, to me, like one of the coolest things about the Final Fantasy games are the way that the characters that you control interact. And one of the things I like about Steiner so much is I love watching him and Zidane kind of argue with each other, you know, because Zidane's always breaking his balls.
Game.
But then I also love the way that Steiner, like, he always calls it, is it Sir Vivi or
yeah,
Master?
Yeah, Sir Vivi. He respects Vivi. That's the thing, because he respects the magic. And that's why I think the sword magic they do together is so cool, because he has that, because that's that pure respect between the two characters.
And it really, like, they do such a great job of making that apparent.
Oh yeah,
because he'll argue with Zidane and be like, shut the hell up, Zidane. I
can't stand you.
Yeah, but then he's so nice to Vivi, and you're like, it's awesome.
He looks at Vivi as this great like wizard, but he looks at Zidane as this as a street rat.
Yeah,
like
a pain in the ass.
He's a thief. He's a street rat. He's causing trouble. He's a kidnapper.
Yeah.
He looks at him as a scoundrel, but he looks at Vivi as this like awesome.
Yeah, yeah.
Amazing person.
And I think that's part of the reason I love this game so much. It's just it's not a love triangle, but just the way those three characters interact with each other, even alone, I love.
If you're hearing this, you're probably a gamer. And for our kind, nothing is as precious and valuable as our save files. Have you ever experienced the loss of a save file? It's soul crushing. Dozens, maybe hundreds of hours of work gone like that. But at the end of the day, it's a video game. It matters, but kinda, you know? That exact scenario, but with a work project, an essay for school, data for your business, that's no joke. That can be really serious. You need a safety net. And I got you, fam, with my partners over at CrashPlan. Visit CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. CrashPlan has been protecting people's data since 2001. And a couple years ago, they set out on their own with one mission, to provide the best damn cloud backup solution on the market. CrashPlan runs quietly in the background of your computer or Mac, and every 15 minutes on the clock, they create a new backup of every file that's changed in that time. So if something goes wrong, God forbid, you don't lose hours, lose days, lose weeks of work. Just log into your account and you can download your most recent backup from the secure cloud servers. And there's not just one backup. There's a laundry list of them. You can pick and choose which one you want. It's like the ultimate undo button. If you work on a computer in any capacity, CrashPlan is a must-have. And if you're thinking, that's for big businesses, I'm just Joe Schmo. CrashPlan protects Joe Schmo. They offer a ton of plans and tiers. So there's a CrashPlan for everyone, from small one-person businesses like me to you fancy businesses and offices with staff and free donuts and all that stuff. Time is money. Why wouldn't you protect your work? Spreadsheets, diagrams, videos, art, podcasts. CrashPlan has you covered. Don't let data disasters slow you down. CrashPlan has your back and keeps you moving. Go to CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year of CrashPlan. That's CrashPlan.com/RTG for 50% off your first year. Back up better with CrashPlan.
Yeah.
Then you throw
because Vivi is Zidane's best friend.
Yeah,
and you see his loyalty to being Zidane's best friend, but he says he loves the respect he gets from Steiner, but Steiner hates Zidane. I love it.
It's perfect. And then you throw in Dagger, who I think she's a cool character.
Actually, she's probably my least favorite character in the game, because as soon as you get Iko, you can throw her to the side unless you want her summons.
Yeah, I agree with that.
I don't really use her summons much, because I prefer to have Iko in my party.
Yeah,
because she has healing. Her summons do healing.
Yeah,
so I'd rather have her in my party, have her doing, like, especially towards the end of the game, doing healing summons, and then having Vivi for my magic, and then Amarant and Zidane to fight.
Right,
like a switch Amarant with Steiner.
Yeah, I was going to say
either
that.
One's fine, but the thing is, in the final battles, I'd rather just focus use Vivi's MP on his magic alone and not have to have it, because he uses his MP also going with Steiner.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So
it's more expensive. Yeah,
yeah, getting to become more expensive for Vivi in the end.
I agree with that. That's where I was going to go, is like, once you get a, is it Iko? Yeah, Iko, that's how I would
think
say
it. I call it Iko because it's E-I-K-O.
K-O, yeah.
Yeah,
once you get Iko, Dagger becomes dispensable, but I do like the Dagger character a lot.
It's all depending on if, because there's an entire section of the game where she's useless. Like, she loses her voice or that portion. Because
That's right.
Yeah, because and then she can't summon. She can't do any of her white magic because she and she misses every attack, like 99% of attacks.
She's dead
like,
weight.
She so I literally drop her out of the game for a good while at that point because you got Aiko. You got Aiko's healing summons. She's got I think one or two attack summons.
Yeah.
So in the end, you really don't need Dagger. In the end, I find her. She's that optional like Aquina again character. But I don't trust me. I like her. I guess Queen is my least favorite, but Dagger is just she's kind of that character is replaceable.
I like her. Yeah, I like her character more than I like her usability.
Yeah,
in fights.
She
like,
has a good character because cool. her connection with Zidane I really enjoy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, like it's because it's the love story.
Yeah, it is.
As in every other game, that's the love story. But it's the first of the love stories I've actually enjoyed.
Yeah,
like the Tifa or Tifa and Cloud. Whatever. Squall and all the different women in that game. But it's...
I agree with that.
It's a fun love story. Like, it's a fun love story, not like... Yeah.
And then, Eco's badass. Amaranth, I didn't use too much. I preferred Steiner.
But... Because him and Steiner, I kind of go 50-50 with. It just depends on... Like, in the latter point in the game, I use Amaranth more because I'm just focusing, like, in a lot of the final stuff... Like I say, I want to use Vivi's MP for his magic because he's got all the. I got by that point, I have all his top spells.
Sure.
So and no, aren't cheap.
Yeah.
If you're not fully maxed out, it's hard. You gotta save your MP for that.
Yeah.
So at that point, I'd rather put Amaranth in with some of his best weapons. He, again, Steiner. If you can get Excalibur, you put him. But I've never gotten Excalibur, so I go with Amaranth.
Right.
I don't know. It's my weird part. And like I find Amaranth a weird character because he has nothing. There's nothing to him.
Yeah.
Like, there's really nothing to his character, but just he's a badass fighter.
Sure.
That's what it is.
But I think that's why I prefer Steiner. Is I'm just like I get the Steiner character. Amaranth's just kind of.
And the thing
slog.
Is, you can put Steiner in the thing and not use the sword magic because he also has the sword art abilities.
Right.
And he has great abilities. Just I don't know. I'm weirdly. Checked. I like using Amaranth more for some reason.
And then there's, is it Freya?
Freya's a character who's has some good abilities, but again, I get Freya. I use Freya kind of when I'm forced to.
Yeah, same
it's
thing.
It's because Steiner replaces Freya in pretty much any battle for me. As soon as I can put Steiner back in,
yeah,
I replace Freya with Steiner. Because, you know, keep Vivi, you keep, and then you have Aiko or Dagger for your healing, and you have Zidane always, right?
Yeah.
So, it's and Freya's my least favorite of the secondary attackers.
Yeah. As soon as I can form a team of my own, it's
once you have everybody in your veil,
it's almost practically always Zidane, Vivi,
Aiko,
and then I like Steiner.
Yeah.
But
at one point in the game, you actually have to split up you become two different factions.
That's right.
And... Weirdly, I always take all my battlers to go deal with the Gulag, and then I take problem is I'm always dragged down by Dagger. Every game thing says recommend take Dagger with you to the Gulag because you're going to need another person there. But I really, and then I have, it ends up being Freya, Quina, Aiko, and Dagger. The thing is between, if you've done some of the work with Quina, Freya and Quina can get you through that section by themselves. Right. And you just have Aiko healing and you don't need the form.
Dagger's just
you
there.
You can
to...
live without the Dagger there because...
Yeah. Dagger's if, just if, there if, to if absorb
you,
some hits.
If you get, honestly, if you can get yourself Goblin Punch and Holy for Quina, it can get you through that entire section.
Sure.
Yeah.
It's like...
For so the that's... Goblin Punch alone, get you through that section with her.
Right.
Or hit him, whatever you want to call it.
So that, like to me, like that's... Like I really like a lot of, like... I mean, I do like the way that Final Fantasy IX goes back to that fantasy world, but my favorite thing about it is that, I mean, and like, again, like, you know, Amaranth, I mean, you know, there's a couple of exceptions, but I really enjoy the characters, I really enjoy the classes, I really enjoy the ability system in it.
Yeah, because it's you put the thing on and you gradually build up the ability again.
Yeah.
And then once it's complete, you get rid of it, you have it set in that ability menu, which I like.
Yeah. I thought it was a superior version of the Materia system.
Yeah, I
because it, I like how you can unequip, but they keep the ability as long as they've learned the ability.
Yeah, as long as you fully learn the ability, where other games, not so much. But I don't know. I really, it's this overall was a fun system and how you built your characters.
Yeah, I agree with that.
Yeah.
And you can, there is some customization there, despite that they're in classes and everything.
Yeah.
There's still some customization there. You can still have some fun with it.
Certain characters have, like, especially like for armor, a lot of them cross over because Freya and Steiner have both use the same armor.
Mm-hmm.
And then Zidane has certain ones he uses, but he pretty much his crossover with everybody else, which is a good thing because you can just, if you get the good armor, you put it on Zidane, get his abilities learned, then drop it to the next guy, then drop it to the next guy.
Yeah.
And if you fight, there's this point where as you're on the way to go to Freya, this meet Freya's people. If you backtrack and go up a ladder where the Muggles are, there's these bosses, there's these like dragon monsters and other ones that are way higher level than they should be in that point of the game, and you can level your characters up so much.
Okay. Yeah, you always, every game's got to have a place
and
like
I love that because by the time I'm going to the next section, I'm usually 20 to 30 levels ahead of where it should be.
Right.
I'm usually sitting around like level 45, level 50 at a point on disc 2 where it should be roughly 25 to 30. I'm like 45 to 50, and it's like, yes, I'm so far ahead.
Like God mode, yeah.
Yeah, and it makes for certain battles later on in the game because when I don't do that, I usually end the game sitting around level 70. When I do that, I usually get to about level 90 in a couple of the characters that I do max out.
It's I should have said this right off the top. Like, I have only played this game one time. When I look at all the other Final Fantasies that I've played, with the exception of 13, that I never finished because it kind of sucked.
I never finished.
Like the two Super Nintendo ones I've played through numerous times. I've played through 7 numerous times.
I played through 2/4. Like, I can't count at this point. Say, like I say 20 for FF9, but I'm not sure.
100 times.
I've played it so many times.
There's something to me about 9 that I've only ever played it once, and I will go back and play it. Like, they've just announced that it's coming to Switch next year, and I will buy and play it again. But, like, and it's been 3-ish years since I played it, and very few games have just left the positive. Like, whenever I think about playing that game, I remember having so much fun. I loved the world. I loved the characters. I loved the story, the leveling mode. And I'm a huge believer that the graphics from the PS1 Nintendo 64 era have aged terribly for the most part.
Yeah.
9 didn't. You look at 9 now, and it has stood the test of time. It's,
I guess Steam and PS4 and all those have remastered the graphics a little bit.
Cleaned them up.
But even, like, I have a friend who has 9. I had him boot it up for me. I booted it up at his place. And just to see what it looked like and compared to my Steam game, and honestly, it was so close.
It looks
good. The
graphics
still hold up very well.
They did because that was the last PS1. Because after that, it was Final Fantasy X, which they launched on the PS2.
Which was, PS2, yeah.
Where it had voice actors and stuff.
Yeah.
And I really feel like 9, much like Final Fantasy VI was their swan song in the, like, pre-3D era. Do you know what I mean? Like, if you include the NES and everything to it.
Yeah.
6 was, like, the peak where they were like, this is the best we can do. I really
9 was
get
the best
that
they could
feel
do
with
at
9.
That feeling, yeah.
And I think that I never played 15 yet. I've heard good things about 15.
I have my problems with 15, but I own it. I've played it 3 times through. I have issues with it, but overall, it's a strong game. It's just the only thing I wish for these later games is if I could have the 7, 8, 9 style battle system where it's the turn-based battle system.
Yeah.
Where like now it's you're just constantly attacking and moving and you're like running around and attacking. I don't know. It's the classic battle system which really attracts me to 9. I don't know.
I love it, dude.
It mastered all of it, and then like 10 keeps it, obviously. Yeah. 12 is where everything changed. But
I think there's a very, very solid argument that Final Fantasy 9 was the absolute peak of this series. People will argue 6, people will argue 7, people will argue the new games. I'm like, dude, they 9. Yeah. And you know what the thing is? And I know I'm not the only one that has this. A lot of people overlooked 9 because 7, yeah. 7 was so big. And then when 8 came out, 8 had the, I never played 8. 8 had the impossible job of following 7.
And to a lot of people and me, I think I went to 4 disc game. The first 2 discs are awesome.
Okay.
Then the next 2 days, the second half of the game, you start finding out you're all amnesiacs and you're whatever. And it's just like,
eight didn't get the best reviews. And no. So a lot of people, and I know this is what happened to me, I saw the mediocre reviews for eight. And I was like, there's too many other RPGs out right now. I'm not it. Because the PS1 had a ton of RPGs.
Oh,
so when 8 came out, I was kind of like, no, I'm not interested. You know what I mean? So then when 9 came out, which was near the tail end of the PS1,
yep.
A lot of people, I believe it was anyway, a lot of people, myself included.
In North America, I think it was. Like, I'm not guarantee when it came out in Japan.
We wrote it off because we were like, oh, whatever.
Yeah.
And I didn't play it till years and years later. And I'm so upset that I didn't.
I didn't play it when it first came out on PS1. I got my PS2, and then I found it because when we had backwards compatibility,
yeah,
on Sony, I found it, so I'm like, oh, I'm gonna play this, and I played it on PS2, and I absolutely loved it.
Great,
and I was like, why did I not play this when it came out?
Right,
I think I just missed it because a lot of those games I would get from the video store in Morrville, and it wasn't like I was buying every one.
Yeah, and it's hard to
them, and when you see so many there, mm-hmm. and eight left such a sour taste in my mouth.
Yeah,
maybe nine's not your attractive. But then when I finally did it, I was like, "Where's this game been this whole time?"
I agree. I think when most people name off the greatest RPGs of all time, like Final Fantasy VII gets into that conversation a lot. So does Final Fantasy VI absolutely belongs in that conversation.
Now after listening to the episode you did about it and you're talking about it, I want to play it.
It belongs
there. It's just timing because I was playing FF9 to get ready for this.
Yeah.
And it's time. Now I'm probably like I might just peter off on 9.
Yeah.
You know, to finish it so many times and go and play it. I might play that at this point because
it should be. But lot of, like, you know, I mean, so there's Final Fantasy VI, there's Chrono Trigger, there's Earthbound, there's, like, you know, Final Fantasy VII gets in that conversation a lot. And then you get into the Skyrims and stuff like that.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. Podcasting's a weird job because I talk to you nerds all the time. Every day, I tell you all about my life, the good and the bad. The ugly, I kind of keep that offline. And it's not that I don't want to talk about it. I'd love to talk about it. I just need to pick and choose who I talk to. We all have stuff that just lives in our minds, rent-free, 24/7. Talking about them can really help because the longer you keep something bottled up, the more likely it is to blow. You've heard me say it before, and you're going to keep hearing me say it. Therapy is the way. Therapists can be that ear to bend when you really need to get something off your chest and don't know who to talk to. And BetterHelp is a great way to go about it. I don't BS you guys. I don't say I've used something if I've never used it. I've personally talked to a BetterHelp therapist about the stuff going on in my personal life, and I genuinely found it helpful. To have someone to talk to that doesn't have any skin in the game, that can just listen and try to help me come up with a roadmap to get through the tough times, it's just invaluable. It has seriously really helped me. I've talked to my therapist through video, and you can do it that way, or you can do it over the phone, or even just over chat. And they give you as many schedule options as possible so you can work a session in around your life. It's licensed therapy, as convenient as it gets. Get it off your chest with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/rememberthegame today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/rememberthegame.
Point I'm trying to make is that Final Fantasy IX is amongst the most criminally overlooked video games, not just in RPGs, but in video game history, as far as I'm concerned.
I agree with that 100%.
And it's like, I know a ton of hardcore gamers that have not played IX. I hadn't for years, and I'm like, dude, you guys, if you like Final Fantasy, you are insanely missing out.
Like,
not
I feel
playing
it's a throwback to the classic games.
That's
is. And that's like where if you loved to like really 1, 2 any of those like any of
Agreed.
Those games, play this game. It is so good.
Seven was different from the Super Nintendo Final Fantasies, mm-hmm. right? I couldn't word it better. I feel like Final Fantasy IX is as close of thing there is to taking one of the Super Nintendo Final Fantasies and making it into a next-gen game.
I feel like it took everything that was great about, like, from what I've heard from everybody, what's great about 6,
yeah, it did.
Creating a new story, obviously, and going back to that feeling of playing a fantasy-style game, bringing it Final Fantasy.
Yeah, and it had that card game.
Yeah,
that I can't remember what it's called now.
Oh, I
sucked at it, but I liked it.
I was doing so well in the game, like literally, I was playing doing because you want to get certain cards. I'm going through, and then I lose, and he takes my best card. I'm like, no.
Yeah, you give up. I didn't get too into it, but it was fun.
I rematched that character though, and he played me, and I got it back. But yeah,
yeah. No, it's like, it was such a great little, because like sometimes the side, like, I mean, in 10, they had that fucking blitz ball.
Ugh.
And I fucking hate
blitz ball. Don't get me wrong, I enjoy 10 for what it is. It's just sort of certain side things to that game and certain couple characters in that game I don't like. But 9 had, I think, all fun characters, and the side quests were great. Like,
it was.
I love when you go to Trino, I think it's Trino, and you go into the weapon shop. And every time you visit Trino, there's a new monster there, but you have to fight it one-on-one.
Right.
And I think literally one of the requirements is you have to fight it as Vivi, or no, you have to fight it as Garnet. So what you actually have to do is wait till the end of the game where if you can get Garnet maxed out, and then go back and beat it. Because, like, I tried it, I was like, I think I had her at like level 35, got in there, it one-shot killed me.
Yeah, yeah.
Like, it's just a thing. Worked. If you go in with Zidane, You drop him with Zidane and fight it. It won't one shot kill Zidane because his HP is almost double hers early on.
Right.
So you usually can survive, but her HP is a lot lower than everybody else's in that game. I found.
Right.
You have to wait until later on to, because it's one of the, I know on Steam it's one of the achievements, like when you're giving your trophies or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
I know about another system, but yeah, it's just so many small things like that in the game.
It's funny. Like, I don't feel like, I can't think of another video game I feel like this about. With Final Fantasy IX, I almost feel apologetic to the game that I'm like, I'm sorry I missed you. I'm sorry I overlooked you. So, and I feel like I owe it to this game to be like standing on the top of mountains, be like, you guys, please play it. It's like, I really feel like I've done something wrong having not played it when it came out.
And don't get me wrong, there might be, if somebody has criticism to it, I'll listen to it. And because, no matter what game you play, somebody's not going to like it. There's going to be something.
Of course.
And to me, that's fine. It's just this, to me, like, 7 was a lot of fun. 8 disappointed me. And 9, I think, brought me back into 5. It was the reason I went and played 10. I think it was just around the time 10 was coming out is that I found out. I was like, oh, I'll go back and play 9. And I'll try this out. I found it and tried it out. And I think because of that, it made me want to play 10 then, mm-hmm. from there. But mm-hmm. I've played Final Fantasy 7 multiple times. I've played 8 a few times. But 9, I played, again, I don't know how many, probably easily over 20 times. It's my favorite game to play.
It's so good.
And now that I have it on Steam, and I've had it on Steam for a few years, I think my hour count is probably around, I think it said around like 500 or 600 hours.
Wow.
That's only multiple times through on Steam. And then sure. I've multiple timed it on PlayStation and other ones. Yeah.
Right. Yeah. 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 I'm when Nintendo announced it, because they're bringing 7, 9, 12, and 10.
I'd like to go back and play 12 again. But
I'm looking forward to 12. But I'm really excited that they're dropping 9. And yeah. I think 9 is a perfect portable game. Like,
yeah,
I'm excited to have it on the Switch.
Yeah, I had it on PlayStation Store, so I had it when I had my Vita.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure it's still on my Vita. Sitting, I haven't opened that
thing
in probably a year.
It's perfect
and a half.
For that stuff, man.
I had 7 and 9 on my Vita, and it was just, I played through them, I don't know how many times on there.
Mm-hmm.
And then, yeah, if you look at my Steam account, the amount of hours that I have just on that game alone.
Mm-hmm.
And really, I own probably 10 of the games on Steam. None of them have probably over 40 hours played on any of them.
But 9.
It's such
great.
A good game.
Well, it's been almost a half hour of us sucking Final Fantasy IX's dick, so we'll give it a review and get out of here. I just really feel this obligation to beat its drum. If you haven't played 9, please do. Like, I mean, I know we've kind of spoiled touches of it here, but I don't think we spoiled too much.
And it has one of the better endings in
100%.
Final Fantasy history.
It was very satisfying to finish. Yeah. Very satisfying.
It didn't feel like it was. There was a twist to it, but it didn't feel like. Like, 8 had that dumbest twist in the world, and you just became this chore to finish. Where this one, it twists, and you're like, oh, I want to finish this, because it twists make you love it so much
and
more.
And like I said, and I've mentioned it twice now, I think, or probably 100 times now, but they do such a great job of building up a connection between you and these characters.
Yep.
That near the end of the game, you're like, well, I gotta help these guys. Like, we gotta finish this game now. We gotta get through this.
You feel like this is the first one I felt like the characters I was like, and it sounds stupid, but they were my friends.
Yeah.
They
I felt like they
were your friends.
I did feel like that too. Yeah. It was like when you play all the other ones. Like, there were other games where I really enjoyed the team, but this was the first one where I was like, I had this connection to them. So what would you give Final Fantasy IX out of 10?
9.5.
I was going to say that. 9.5.
Yeah. It's such a strong game.
Yeah. It's it is absolutely in the conversation for the best RPG I've ever played.
Definitely.
So check it out, guys. It's available on everything. And now it's coming to Switch soon, which is going to be fucking awesome.
Get it.
Get it. Fucking get it. You're stupid if you don't, like I was for years. thanks for doing this, buddy.
Oh, obviously.
That's going to do it for another episode, you guys. Thank you so much for coming back and downloading and listening or whatever it is you did. Andre, thanks for coming over. We'll do another batch soon. And we recorded this episode a couple of months ago, so I can't remember everything we talked about. But if I didn't say it in there, and I probably did, if you've never played Final Fantasy IX and you're an RPG fan, play Final Fantasy IX. It's really, really good. Again, I'm not kidding, it might be my favorite Final Fantasy when I really think about it. It's available on everything, and it's coming to Switch in the new year, which is awesome. So play it. I'm gonna play it again for sure. That's it, we guys. I'm gonna get out of here. 20 episodes in. Thank you guys so much. Really, I appreciate you all for listening, and let's keep this thing going. And we're on our way to 40, okay? But I could have said 50, but 40 will do. We're on our way to 40, you guys. Take it easy. Have a great week. I will be back again next Wednesday. All right. Cheers.